No, I haven't. I've just been at my desk with the budget all day long.
You got about a minute or two?
Yeah.
Well, you remember the speaker talked with you at about three.
Yeah.
And then His Majesty Halleck walks in and announces that too much time has elapsed.
Yeah.
And he walks out, you know, in command of his forces, taking over the foreign policy of the United States. So we got hold of some of our people, including old Wilbur Mills, walked in there and said, now, Mr. Speaker, let's just make this fight. By God, this fellow's going to take over the foreign policy of the United States. He's going to try to embarrass and insult the President of the United States. He's got the most awesome, terrible job on earth on a proposition that involves the basic policy of our country, involves the operation of the free enterprise system and penetrating the communist myth and curtain, shows the superiority of our American agriculture and so on. And in addition to that, what he's saying is that he's going to be the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Well, Mr. President, the old man was really magnificent. We went in there, we said, now, we want to tell you that we'll stay here today, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Christmas Day, Thursday, Friday, however many days are concerned. And I told him, I said, Mr. President, I'll get him back from California. Where?
Wait a minute, I want Walter Jenkins to hear this. I want to see if I can put it on my speaker.
Okay.
You know how that damn speaker goes. Turn it right here.
Hale.
Yeah.
We may lose this connection. You may have to call me back. But just a second now. Mash that down, Walter.
All right.
Now, can you hear him over? Yes, I don't hear him.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Hello, Hale.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, fine. Hi, Walter.
How are you, Hale?
Fine, thank you. I was telling the President about what happened over here late this afternoon. So, when we had Wilma and Carl Vinson and all half a dozen of the rest of us, and we said, now, Mr. Speaker, Lyndon Johnson's our President, you our Speaker, and we're going to stay here tonight, all night again, if you want us to. We'll stay here all day tomorrow. We'll stay here all day Monday, all day Tuesday, and we'll stay here all day Christmas, Thursday, Friday. We'll stay here till hell freezes over to beat this Halleck, who's trying, number one, to take over the foreign policy of the United States, and number two, to become the Speaker of the House of Representatives, which he ain't, never will be. So the old man was, he was feeling that way all along anyway. We didn't tell him anything that he wasn't already convinced of. So we went in and we had a meeting with Pastore and Mansfield, and God bless both of them. They said, well, by God, we think you're absolutely right. We were willing to do exactly the same thing, and we're not going to adjourn this Congress. So Mr. Halleck was pounding around here, you know, figuring that, you know, he had held out, you know, the background after the you had agreed to this proposition he had. The speaker goes in and he struts out and says that he's waited too long. And, of course, he had had two fellows on the Rules Committee, which he wouldn't let attend the meeting of the Rules Committee this afternoon.
Yep.
You know all about that. So in any event, we reconvened at about 6 o'clock and Carl Albert, God bless him, he got up and made one of the finest speeches I ever heard in my life. And he just laid it right on the line. He said that this party was going to support President Lyndon Johnson, that he had inherited one of the most awesome jobs on earth, that he was doing a fantastically good job. And we weren't thinking about repudiating him. We had to be here Christmas Day, New Year's Day, and every other day. And thereupon, he read the riot act to Mr. Halleck, whose face got redder and redder and redder. And then...
Did he reply?
Well, I'll tell you about it just a minute. Jerry Ford this morning had gotten up and...
I heard about Jerry.
Well, did you hear about what happened to him?
Oh. I heard about the fellow from Ohio getting up and saying he's the only one who rode a plane.
Well, let me tell you more about it. This morning at 6:30 a.m., whenever it was, we said to Larry, I said, Don't bring any of these fellas back by military aircraft, even if they want to come back that way, even if they can come back that way, because these Republicans are trying to make some issue out of that. So Larry, God bless him, he sent out the order all over the country, and we had one poor Democrat out in Michigan who was trying to get back, and they wouldn't let him on the airplane, although there's a military plane leaving there, flying to Washington with about 10 empty seats in it, but they wouldn't let him get on the thing. Well, old Jerry Ford gets up there and makes himself some goddamn impassioned speech about how we'd gone out in the wee hours. Of course, we went session till daybreak, and we were waking all morning long, as you know, and how we'd fetch these fellas back and use military aircraft and so forth. Well, I got up, and I was a little shaky because I didn't know whether or not we had between 1 and 6, but I knew we hadn't after 6. So I defined him to name one fella that we'd brought back that way, and instead of we had the votes to win this thing today.
That's what I understood.
Right, and so poor old McCullough trapeze is down to the well, and that's that he came back that way, see, which makes Ford look like a real jackass. Well, late in the afternoon, the Secretary of Defense called Speaker McCormick, and told him exactly what happened about poor Ryan, and Ryan couldn't get on an airplane, and McCullough got on his own insistence, and that Mansfield had innocently asked that Jordan be flown back, and that they'd tan poor old Jordan down on the Senate side. So, Ford was, the Speaker told the Secretary of Defense to call Ford and give him that report, so we knew he had it.
Good.
That's right. We knew he had it. So by the time Carl finished on Charlie Halleck, I asked him to yield, and I said, "Now we would like very much to get a report from the distinguished gentleman from Michigan who has talked about how we were using military aircraft to bring our members back. I know the gentleman has a report. Would he be good enough to give it to the House?" So he had to get up and give a report, and he knew that we knew exactly what was in the report, so he looked pretty good making that report. Well, then, Halleck gets up, and he makes his long, rambling speech about how he had supported President Truman and the Greek-Turkish program and the Marshall Plan and later on and these different other programs and so forth. But he never quite answered the proposition about what he had really done, namely run out on a deal. So then the Speaker left the chair and went down and just got out on the floor and very politely and calmly recounted the chronology of what transpired last night and today. And we gave him one hell of a big hand, and we filed a conference report. Which we have to get a rule on. We're trying to get old Bernie Sis back here. We don't know where Bowling is. But we think we'll have them all back. Mr. President, you may have to call Bernie Sis before we finish.
I'm not calling anybody that you don't want me to call, but I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
What I think you ought to do, by all means, you ought to call Jones, son.
Yes, sir.
And you ought to call every damn one of these colors, Mr. Drew Pearson. You ought to call up. Any boats that you got to make use of Hill, and you ought to take the line that you just took here, beginning with me, that here we were ready to pass foreign aid bill. It had been cut from $4 billion under Kennedy to $3 billion for Johnson.
Right.
But we were ready to do it.
Right.
Take our medicine. We just didn't want to insult Russia.
Right.
Just start We said that the president would have to make a finding and have to submit it to him and have to give it
to all over the president of the United States.
And Mr. Hunt just decided he'd do that because the Midwest isolationists wanted to take over.
Well, he even went further than that this afternoon. He said that he had an issue that he knew the American people agreed with him on, see? And the reason he did what he did this afternoon was that he knew at 2 o'clock that we had him beat. Now, that's what really happened.
I think there's no question about that.
That's right. That's why he ran out. We had him beat, in my judgment, about 15 votes, but I didn't want to be that sanguine about it.
Well, we ought to get that in the comments, though, and we ought to get it on the commentators, and we ought to get somebody to invite us on today, Monday morning. We ought to get the Somebody ought to ask that.
Hell, I'd love to go on today. Old Martin Nagronsky, he's a good pal of mine. He'll put me on there. Somebody will tell him to do it.
Well, we'll to see if he can't get him to ask Hale Boggs to go on today.
I'd love to go on it.
I don't know. Why don't you call Martin Nagronsky and ask him if he can't go on?
Well, I'll call him. Be glad to call him, but...
Call him and get on, because you ought to do this on today, Monday morning.
I can do it with the greatest of ease.
All right, I'd just sure do it, and I'd spend tomorrow talking to these columnists.
I'll talk to them.
Go on something, Drew Pearson, because you've got the best story I never ever heard.
Well, that's the story, Mr. President. I want you to hear it.
Now, what will you do? Will you get Trimble and Fisk? Will that make you angry?
Yeah, that's all we need. Trimble is... in the Methodist house, he says that his doctor may let him come over. We can't find this fellow Bowling. He's out somewhere. Sisk is out in California, but I'm sure he'll come back. Both the speaker and call and I have talked to him.
What did Sisk say?
Well, he talked about some family problems or some such thing, and I appreciate it maybe if you'd talk to him.
Well, I don't want to be calling unless the speaker thinks I ought to.
Well, I think the speaker thinks you ought to.
Well, you tell him if he thinks I ought to, let me call him.
Okay, fine.
And I think y'all ought to put out a call.
We got calls all over the country. I'm in the Whip's office right now, and Henry Wilson is here with me, and we haven't stopped waking all day and all night.
You ought to call Bowling, though.
Hell, we got somebody looking for Bowling. We got the governor of the Virgin Islands looking for him. We think that's where he is.
Well, now, how many of them are going to go home?
None of them are going home. My fellas are staying here. They got up and gave call, and the speaker a standing ovation.
What do the Republicans do?
Well, the Republicans, Charlie Halleck was absolutely beside himself. I'm telling you that he tried to defend himself, and he went all around the rose bush. They say they're going to stay here, but... they weren't able to get very many members back today, and he's not faring too well under this business because the bee is on him.
Well, it ought to be kept from him with universal publicity. I wish you'd call Al Franklin and tell him what happened.
I'll call all of them. I'll call him right now.
Call Al Franklin and tell him it's the damnedest thing you ever saw. Then
what
call Drew Pearson next, because he can get it out pretty quick.
Do you realize, Mr. President, that on that vote this morning at 6 a.m., that on a matter involving basic foreign policy of the government of the United States, we got 3 Republican votes. We got Connie, we got Peter Freelandhouse, and we got John Lindsay. 3 out of 176 Republican members of the House of Representatives. Now, there's never been anything like that in the history of the United States in the Democratic Party.
Well, that sentence now ought to be used to every one of these columnists and to Jimmy Reston. And all of them, and just say, here's the foreign policy, trying to keep from offending Russia. They're not going to use the goddamn money. They don't want it at a high interest rate. They refuse to pay it to Canada. They paid them cash. But they just don't want to be discriminated against. And they just don't want to be told that they got to eat the second table and go to the basement.
Certainly.
And here we're trying to get along with them. And a little... chunky fellow from the Midwest decides that he'll take over the foreign policy. Now, you ought to tell Jimmy Reston and Joe Alsop and Drew Pearson and Al Friendly, those 4 people.
I'll call those.
If you do that, in my judgment, it'd be worth more than any 50 votes you could get, because I think that that'll be in the papers and more public land in this country. Now, I can't do it because if any of them will call me, I'll do it. But if I go to initiate and they say, well, Johnson was the issue.
Well,
you sitting up there as a whip, you can tell.
Well, Mr. President, I know all 4 of those gentlemen, and I call each one of them right now.
All right, I'll dance at you wedding, and then I want to talk to you after you talk to them.
All right, I'll call you later if it's all right.
Do that.
Good night.
Bye.